Welcome to the Practical Consciousness Podcast with James and Lisa, where we help you tap into your highest selves in everyday life. Hi, welcome to Practical Consciousness, the podcast with James and Lisa. I'm James.
I'm Lisa.
And today we're going to talk about what lurks in the shadows. Dun, dun, dun. We're kind of kidding, but we're kind of not kidding. So we've been talking about doing this particular episode, or it might even turn out to be a little series. We're kind of see where we end up today. But this is a tough one. This is like, I guess we could call it, this is advanced consciousness, maybe. Maybe. a little bit beyond the basics. And so here's the concept. I'll just lay it out and then we'll have a conversation about it. So,
okay.
And then I'll, you know, we can share our own kind of personal stories about it, but,
The
basic concept is, being awake and being conscious are similar, but they're not quite the same thing. And so the idea of when you become awake is you see things for what they are, right? It's like you now realize the role your mind plays in the creation of your experience, et cetera, et cetera. And then conscious, the basic definition of consciousness is once you kind of become awake and aware, then now you're conscious in that the things that you're doing, you're making a conscious decision to make them, whatever they are, whatever thought you're choosing to have, you're choosing to have it, etc. Well, what doesn't get talked about in the self-help books, and Lisa and I, we're going to like shatter the self-help industry in this one episode right here. What the self-help industry focuses on is love and light. They focus on positivity,
yeah,
affirmations, doing a gratitude journal, all those kind of things. If you read The Secret, if you're into the Law of Attraction, which if you're a listener to us, you know we are. If you listen to Esther Hicks, any Law of Attraction things, they talk about bringing yourself emotionally into a vibrational alignment to the things you want to have, right? So that's kind of the traditional current model of how a lot of spirituality and a lot of awareness type help comes from, healing, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, they're all missing probably the most significant thing, which is all of us have thoughts, desires, attitudes about things that we are ashamed of, that we feel we've judged as bad,
mm-hmm,
and or that we feel like having those thoughts, desires, attitudes are somehow wrong. And usually my experience has been the vast majority of these have been related to some, you know, condition, either from our parents, schools, culture,
absolutely,
society, whatever, right? They say thinking this thing is a naughty thing to think. And so we've done one of two things. We've repressed it, which we've said, okay, I don't think I want to think this way, therefore or it's bad to think that way, or it's bad to want to have that, or whatever, mm-hmm, it is. And so we bury it. Usually we do this when we're pretty young. And so then what we've done is we've placed in our subconscious a shadow, a quote unquote shadow, a part of ourselves that we lock away. Right.
Yeah.
And then the other kind of way shadows form is not in an oppressed way, but in an active way, but we're sneaky about it. so, you know, maybe it's porn, or maybe it's the secret desire to hurt ourselves or cause pain or something. Whatever it is, we do it, we act on it, but we keep it hidden. And we're terribly ashamed of it. And so why does it matter that we're talking about these shadows, and why is it important? I think it's so we talked about the foundation of high consciousness is mindfulness, right? Without mindfulness, you're just not going to quite get there, right? You're going to, you maybe wake up a little bit, or aspects of you wake up, but you're not quite fully conscious.
Yeah.
That's our opinion. That's our own, that's our axiom. And for any listeners who don't understand what an axiom is something that we believe true that we don't need to prove, right? Okay. So, the reason why I wanted to talk about this and I'm so passionate about it is both Lisa and I recently have been doing quite a bit of shadow work with on ourselves. And so keeping it suppressed or thinking we can heal it and we can find where our shadow is and then let it go or move past it. That's what a lot of the self-help industry tries to help us do is missing the mark a little bit, because being conscious or being enlightened, fully conscious, is understanding that we aren't what we think we are. And in other words, what our mind thinks we're capable of doing is not true.
So much more than that.
We're more than what we think we are.
Yeah.
And if we knew what we actually were, we can't even comprehend it.
Right. That's true.
And so the truth is, and this is an axiom, the truth is that we are all of what we are, the shadow and the light. Mm-hmm. Because it's not bad. The shadow is, our mind has told us it's bad, or society or whatever, but it's not necessarily bad. Now, okay, this could be, like I said, this could be a series. We could be talking about this for a long time, because this is scary. This is scary stuff, right? This is digging into the parts of you. These are the demons, the devils, the gremlins, all the nasty, evil things that live within us.
Yeah.
And you and I have already talked about judgments and how we project.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to mention projection. That's another way that it manifests, as we project.
That's how we can start seeing our shadows.
Yeah.
Right. Is those things that we're projecting and judgments on other people. That's the obvious, like step one.
Yeah. If you get super, super, upset and opinionated about somebody maybe who's cheating someone else out of something. That's when something like that happens, when you're like, that is so wrong, and they're, you know, terrible for doing that.
They're idiots.
If you're acting like that, you need to like turn. I'm reading this book now where she calls it the U-turn, Y-O-U turn, where you turn it around and you look at yourself in a gentle and kind way.
Right.
Because we don't want to judge ourselves.
Right.
That's not what we're talking about.
Well, because I'm reading this book right now. Super good. It's really short. It's a kind of a provocative title, but it's Existential Kink. I mean, she talks about shadows being these dark desires that we have, kind of like kinky, you know, kinky, naughty stuff. Mm-hmm. Because there's a part of us that that kind of gets off, for lack of better words, gets a thrill in a weird sort of way out of the shadows. And that's the part I really kind of wanted to emphasize a little bit today. Because you and I talk a lot about law of attraction, quite a bit anyway. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of our listeners, I know you and I have personally talked about this, like we struggle with why we don't necessarily manifest the things that we desire.
Right. Well, a lot of my clients, I mean, that's a big part of what we work on.
Right. And, you know, Abraham Hicks, The Secret, all of them, they all talk about how, well, you got to, you know, maybe play these games sometimes with your head, you know, and we've even given some of the techniques of being able to, you know, like pretend like you're there or act as if, some of those things. And those all make sense. But this is the challenge, in that all these things, if they're not really dealing with the root issue, and the root issue are these shadows. And There's plenty of shadow practitioners. There are people that can help you discover your shadows, allow the shadows to come. And you and I are even going to do some series on guidance and the different forms of guidance. And it's really ironic, but most of the kind of the structured forms of guidance that we're going to talk about in others, like astrology and some of these others, they actually address the shadows.
Yeah, they do. Astrology does.
They point out the shadows and they say, you know, there's nothing wrong with this.
Yep.
It's just going to have potentially some consequences in your life. But it's up to you, right, whether that bothers you. So here's what I know. This is another axiom. So the axiom is basically what you are experiencing in your life is a result of a desire, period. So whatever you have shows what you've wanted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I know that kind of sounds a little tough because it's like, okay, what if you're dealing with a lot of struggle? You know, like what if, and it can feel victim-y, like what if, you know, what if you've been abused, or what if you're in an abusive relationship right now, or what if, you know, you've lost an arm or a leg or something like that. And you sit there and think, wait, this is a product of my desires. And the answer is yes, it is at a subconscious level.
Yeah.
And that's why the shadow work is so important, because what the shadow work does is it pulls all those repressed kind of nasty dark aspects of ourselves and it pulls it into our conscious awareness.
Yeah.
That's the first step. And that's where like looking at judgments and all that kind of stuff can really, really help you, because you'll be like, oh, I'm so pissed off at this person for being rude because I'm rude. There's a rude person in me. So that's kind of the first step, awareness. You're making the unconscious conscious, which is, again, you and I've talked to, that's why mindfulness is so valuable. It become aware. You wake up to what's going on in here, right? Yeah. Well, there's another piece to that. And it's really the most important piece. And that is that part of you is just that. It's part of you. You as a total person. We live this life and it's epic. Most people think their life is so mundane and so ordinary and so blasé, right?
Yeah.
Well, the truth is that the creation process is a miracle, right? And the fact that you exist at all is a miracle. It's a tremendous making.
Well, and all the creation that we're capable of, I mean, it's all a miracle. We can create anything.
And everything is created from a thought. Everything originates as a thought.
Yeah.
And so we think, which makes us creators, which makes us divine. Mm-hmm. Right? And so if there's a part of us that we think is wrong, broken, bad, taboo, you name it, whatever it is, then we've shrunk our game. We've basically said we can only be what society, our parents, whatever we've been conditioned that says we can be.
Yeah, I like that term. We shrunk our game.
Well, I mean, we have.
I know. I like it. It's
we've good. Created all these limits. I can be this. I can't be that.
Right.
I can't be this. I can't be that.
Yeah.
I can do this. I can't do that. Right. You're limiting yourself. Right. And so in coaching, you know, you and I, basically our job is to help our client see where that aspect of themselves is being somehow shamed or buried and go and move past it.
Yeah.
And once they move past it, then their game gets bigger.
Yep. Yeah.
And so this is why the shadow work is so important, because there's a part of you, and it's your heart. I'll just be, you know, spoiler alert. Your heart, your heart already accepts all of you.
Yep.
And so what's happened is, and you and I talked about our ego, our ego is our conscious side. And so our ego is basically saying, well, you can't do that. You can't be that. That's bad. You should be ashamed. You should not let anybody know that. Don't, you know, hide that.
Hide that part.
Right. And so we've kind of got a disconnect, right? We're out of harmony. We're out of our higher purpose. And our higher purpose is to be fully aligned and to be whole and to step into our experience whole, fully
loving every corner of yourself.
Yeah, yes, yes, exactly. Because then we're in alignment. Then our heart can say, you know, ego, I know you think this is bad. I get it. It's okay. You can think that. I know that it's perfect the way it is.
Yeah.
And all that does is by saying like, I don't know, like I can be an asshole sometimes, I guess. Are we allowed to say that on? We say
it's
we're
your
clean.
Podcast.
We say we're clean. I might have to. Anyway, if we're jerks sometimes, we basically we just kind of own that, and it's like, of course, yeah, of course we're a jerk sometimes. Who isn't? And there's a great saying I couldn't find in this book, but that book I was reading, I've been telling you about. There's a great quote in there, and I don't think it's hers. I think it's Carl Jung's. And by the way,
Jung. Yeah.
Jung, whatever. He's kind of the, by the way, he's the father of shadow work, right? He's the originator.
Yeah, he is.
And
yep.
He uses these archetypes to describe the different aspects, the different fractals of our essence, our natural state. Yeah. And of course he studied under Freud. And he, you know, and Freud looked into our shadows to some extent, right? And so this originates really in psychology. This idea of these shadowy aspects of ourselves. But also, there's a spiritual side of this as well, in that a lot of Buddhist practices and a lot of Hindu practices and even some Christian practices recognize that there's this duality in us, in our experience.
Yeah, that's true.
And so they also have practices. Meditation is one of them. Tantric meditations. These parts where you get kind of tap into and start to embrace these shadowy parts of ourselves. That's where a lot of the tantric stuff comes from, is this ability to discover and be in whole, right? Of course, it's a lot of it's tied to sexual stuff, because experience. So I'm going to say something kind of controversial, and I'm curious. I want you to weigh in on it for a second.
I may or I may not.
So there's this idea that when we experience a sensation, right, when we experience something, our body experiences a sensation, whether it's pain or whether it's pleasure, it's the same, really. The sensation is really the same. It's just our brain makes a choice of whether we feel it as pleasure or we feel it as pain. Let me stop there. What comes to you when I say that?
Yeah, that might be... I guess that's possible that that's true. I don't know.
And so the idea...
Never thought of it that way.
Well, the idea of why a lot of the tantric becomes like a sexual kind of experience is because when we choose to allow the experience of our shadows without judgment, without repressing, without holding it down, it feels there's a release. There's a relief. The experience, physical experience, is just like, oh, finally, you know, I mean, we've held this back and tightened ourselves up for so long that now we're open and we're allowing and we're accepting.
Yeah.
And it feels very much like a sexual release. Because that is what that is, right? That's a huge, big release of hormones.
Yeah.
And that's why that kind of gets muddled into that taboo-y. That's why that book, This Existential Kink, is that's kind of her whole thing, is that a lot of our dark desires are kinky. And just like some kinkiness that comes with our sexual side, there's kinkiness in our that goes on in our head, isn't sexually related,
right?
But it has that same sort of like sensation.
Okay,
does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, yeah. I know that's kind of a weird way to introduce the topic, but my point is that this is so mindfulness is like the first pillar.
Definitely.
The shadow is the next pillar. And because you have to accept yourself fully.
You do. I mean, that's part of mindfulness and part of getting to know your storyteller, as you might want to call it, or your ego, getting to know that part of yourself.
Yeah.
You have to get to know all the parts of yourself. And that part is, you know, it's part of you, like you said, it's the whole you.
And it's the part of us, the reason why it matters so much is when we talk about that holding back, and it's the part of us that's actually manifesting. So even though it's subconscious, let me give you an example. This is going to sound strange, but let me give it to you. Let's say, I can give you my own example. So I shared in the past episodes that, you know, I'm kind of small stature and I was picked on a lot as a kid, bullied. And so part of my shadow work was to realize that there's always been a bully in my life. So patterns, things that repeat, relationships that repeat, those tend to really be trying to show us, yes, right, what's going on. And so we talked about how there's always been a bully in my life. And then it wasn't until I realized by looking at how I'm projecting that there's always been a bully in my life because I'm a bully to myself in my own personal judgments, in my own criticisms, the inner critical voice, right? Well, as I continue to deepen my shadow work and I look at it from this aspect of dark desires, so if I keep manifesting a bully in my life, it's happening from my subconscious.
Yeah.
But there's a desire, because there wouldn't be a manifestation without a desire.
Yeah.
And so what is the desire? Why would I desire to be picked on? Well, what I discovered is I want to be seen. I want to be noticed.
That's your desire.
My desire is to be, is to have attention.
So did you do shadow work in order to discover that?
Yeah.
What do you do? Like, is there anything that you can share that a way to come to these?
Yeah, I want to share that. And there's a couple of things that I've done. I know you've done some things, but I think we should also highlight some books in this particular episode that have helped us, because it's a process, right? Like everything else. You don't just like, you know, all of a sudden go, oh, I'm ready to do the shadow work, because there's a reason why these things are repressed. This is the stuff, right? This is the super shameful, super embarrassing, nasty, nasty stuff. And your ego will fight tooth and nail to avoid seeing this stuff, experiencing this stuff.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to finish on my story real quick. So I suddenly felt in my body the sensation of kind of the pleasure that comes with being picked on. I know it sounds really paradoxical.
Yeah.
But there's a part of me that just gets off, for lack of better words, on, well, at least they're noticing me.
Oh, okay.
Right? And so there's a part of me subconsciously that's like created a bully in my life because the bully at least notices me.
Notices you. Yeah,
Right?
interesting.
So the dark desire is just to be seen and felt and noticed. So just like a little kid sometimes, acts really obnoxious so that they can be seen or noticed or get the attention. It's just the adult form of that same kind of
Yeah.
desire.
So the shadow work that I've done, because I've gone to a shadow worker, and it was based around going back in time and finding that moment in time when where like the root of this thing. So she started the session off with, think of something in your life right today where you overreact, where your reaction to whatever it is blown up. And so I came up with something, and then we did sort of like a hypnosis kind of sort of thing, and went back in time and found that little child that had that ex had the experience that was attached to that same feeling. It was really interesting how it happened. It was absolutely amazing, not at all what I expected to happen. So it was really cool, and there was definitely some shifts that happened as a result of it.
So a lot of practitioners, they'll do that. They'll do these memory, repressed memory, parts. There's some meditation practices that explicitly work on finding, uncovering your shadows. There's also past life regression stuff. That in it, that's a so part of our shadows are also like generational. We've carried them from either a past life or we've carried them from a
They go from
generational,
generation.
right? And so it's a shadow in us. We're repressing or holding it back, but we don't even understand why we've judged it as bad because we're
So
not the ones that.
you're talking about all these different ways, that people can do this. I know there's probably people out there, because this was me, who, when you're hearing all this, you're getting uncomfortable and you're thinking, not
Yeah,
interested.
not for me.
And it's totally fine if you're not ready for it. It's totally fine. But when you are on this sort of path, this kind of like spiritual growth path, you might find that you're going to get to a point where you start doing some work, and you might even go, oh, this is probably that shadow work stuff that James and Lisa were talking about. That's likely will happen. And you'll just kind of ease into it. It doesn't have to be a big, like, let me just take all my clothes off in front of everybody kind of thing. Doesn't have to be that scary.
No, it doesn't. No,
Yeah.
you're right. And that's a great point. And even you and I sort of have like, whether we're consciously choosing to do it or not, we dipped our toes in it and then we got a little deeper and a little deeper. And of course, I've been deep in the last 5 months in it.
Yeah.
Tremendous amount of clarity. I can tell you that if you are interested in in going down that path, you won't be sorry. It's not easy. You'll experience a lot of very deep emotional scars and some emotional wounds and some kind of things like that. But at the same time, you'll become free.
Yeah. And at the time that it comes into your life, you'll be ready for it.
Yeah,
So
you'll feel
listening
the
to you
call.
say deep emotional scars, like that's scary. And people are like, no. But at the time that it comes to you, you will be ready for it. So it won't be as scary.
Right.
Like you'll be at a point where you'll be able to accept it. And it's good to do it with a practitioner who knows what they're doing.
It
And I
really
know
is.
someone, I have a good friend who that's one of the things that she does. And maybe we could interview her and have her
Well, that would be fun, yeah.
shed some light.
Yeah. And that's why I kind of wanted if for our listeners, typically we give some practical like approaches that they can do, those kind of things. I have a couple of little caveats I want to just disclaimers, I guess, to share with our listeners. This particular work, you've got to be in, just like Lisa says, you got to be ready. You got to be in the right frame of mind. You got to have the courage to go there. you do not want to be like in a depressed state. You do not want to be in any kind of energy where you're just really down, and it's not the right time.
Well, you're not ready. You won't find it then anyway, because you're not ready for it.
Well, you might find it.
Maybe.
But when you find it, it may pull you deeper, right?
Yeah.
The great analogy that my coach has said that I really resonates with me is this notion of doing the shadow work is you go into the darkest well, the scariest hole, cave, whatever it is, and all the self-help has always told us, well, once you get to the other side, there's light, right? Well, you're the light. So going deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into the hole until you get to the bottom, that's where you'll find the answer.
Yeah.
And the answer isn't something you're going to get rid of. It's not something you're going to release. It's not something you're going to face, you know, like Darth Vader and kill Darth Vader and you see it's Luke Skywalker. That's the same kind of concept, but what you'll discover is that you have to go all the way into the deepest, darkest spot to see what it is. Like you said, you know, or like I was talking about, just see that it's really there's a desire there, maybe. And so if you're in a mental, like if you're somehow like not ready to see that, then you don't want to go there. Right. And so that's why I'm holding off on giving any sort of like practical tools and that kind of stuff, because I agree with what you just said. It's something that is challenging enough that you may want to get some assistance of some sort.
That's what I think. I think referring people to practitioners who are experienced and know what they're doing is the best thing to do. And maybe we could post something on
yeah.
Facebook page.
And if you do want to walk the route yourself, because I did that, I didn't get any practitioners.
But you had guidance from your coach.
I was going to say, well, not my coach per se, but I got guidance from books, basically experts. And so I want to recommend a couple of books that I've read that have helped, that I can tell our listeners that are worth reading if you want to go down this path, right? The first one is, it's called The Judgment Detox by Gabby Bernstein.
That's a good book.
It's a good book. It's all about like learning how you're judging, but it starts to show you your shadows, right? And then the next book that I would recommend to read, like after that one, it's called the book is called The Dark Side of the Light Chasers by Debbie Ford, the late Debbie
Ford.
Okay.
Oh, Debbie Ford, yeah. I don't think I've read that one.
It's another really good one. It's a good way to she has some real practical like exercises and a methodology, I guess, of dealing with the shadow work side.
Okay.
And then of course this one I just talked about, which is The Existential mm-hmm. Kink. Quite honestly, if you wanted to start there, you could, because it's fast. I mean, you go deep quick. But you kind of need to be, you know, you need to be sort of ready for that. Those are the three books that I've personally read that I personally utilized to do my shadow work and has been a tremendous amount of help. And then my other path was through some other guidance type stuff that you and I are going to do some other ones, but I'll just say it. It's Gene Keys and Human Design, and we're going to do mm-hmm. a podcast on that. But those are the other references that you can utilize to start to see your shadows. I could talk about this all day long, forever and ever and ever. So
maybe we better do another.
Yeah, we might have to do another episode. But We just kind of wanted to introduce the topic, let you guys experience it. It's not our typical kind of like lighter left brain stuff. This is if you've been listening to us for a while now, this is the more kind of advanced consciousness, I guess, stuff.
Yeah, I think it's good though for people to, if it's sparking something in you and you're like, I'm a little curious about this, then look into it a little more. But if you're not, if not, then it's, you know, maybe it's not time.
Right. Good point. And if you're like more curious about it and you want other sort of like references and ideas, reach out to either one of us.
Yeah, definitely.
We're doing our own shadow experiences. And you know, we're not gurus or experts by any means. But we can certainly point you in the right direction and, learn, you know, help you learn what's there in the shadow stuff. So,
yeah, I mean, for sure, look in the show notes or in the comments, and I will reach out to my friend who does shadow work and verify that she's okay with us, you know, post maybe a link to her website, which I'm sure she probably will be. And we'll do that. We'll do that. And then also we can have her on and have her give us her, you know, give her professional perspective on this.
Yeah, that'd be cool. All right. Well, that's, I guess, part one.
Yeah.
We might do a part two. Yeah, we'll get a little bit more into our individual stories of the shadows, and what we've realized on the heels of acceptance, I guess, and yeah, what it means for us in our own experience. And yeah, we'll kind of go from there. Yeah. And with that, I think we'll end this one, and we'll tell everybody thanks for listening, and bye-bye.